The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Yeah, another edition is underway. We're going with you until 10 o'clock tonight. If you tuned in at 6 and we weren't there, well, that's because it's Sunday night. And live on Sunday night starts at 7. Live on Saturday night starts at 6. Next week, I believe we are on. I've got to get my dates correct. Next week, I believe we are live on Saturday night.
We are on Saturday night.
And you know, right now we're dealing with the FSU games and whether they win and whether they lose and when they kick off and when they don't kick off. But next week, apparently the kickoff is at noon, so it should not affect us being here live on Saturday night, which will be great. And college football is turning out to be so much more enjoyable to watch than the NFL football season this year. Even though I hear today that the Jaguars actually pulled off a win. I didn't watch it. Pulled off a win against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and so if they did, all good for them. I'm hoping that many of the folks that have decided to boycott, I understand single game ticket sales are down by over 20%.
Not only did I not watch it, but I actually did not know they won until I got a text from Joni, our field producer.
Field producer, doing her job in the field.
Doing her job, who said... What a great game, and I didn't watch it, didn't watch the first.
Oh, she actually
didn't
said...
Didn't even click between...
Great game?
Said it was a great game.
So she is apparently a closet Jags supporter? We might
There's
have
no
to rethink that. We might
no
have
accounting
to re-
for taste yeah. out there, Joni.
Might have to rethink that field reporter's, or field producer's position. Might have to bump her down a few grades to maybe cub reporter. Anyway, for
Marty would have been proud of me. I watched the Garbage Network after we got home from church and grocery shopping.
You know, I haven't watched a football game since the fiasco with the Jaguars in England, and I haven't missed it. I truly haven't missed it. I was never a Jag supporter, but I certainly did enjoy the Packers. I enjoyed the Minnesota Vikings. I did enjoy watching the Steelers play. I would have probably switched over and supported the Cowboys this year because I believed what Jerry Jones said about players kneeling and public displays of political inclinations on the field. But then he turned around and just completely shot himself in the foot by joining in with them on the field 2 games later. So just not even interested in the NFL. I understand that ticket sales all across the country are plummeting. Many people have told me that they watched Thursday night football last week. And the stands for whatever team was playing on Thursday night, the stands were virtually empty. There was just nobody there. Someone told me that the New York Giants game, the stands were almost completely empty. There was just nobody showing up. And you know, when you're in New York, you become rabid sports fans. You're either a Jets fan or a Giants fan. And to have the stands so terribly, terribly empty. Is a good
thing.
And
they have a lot of choices up there. They've got basketball, baseball. Yeah. They've got everything to choose from up there.
And apparently they have decided to not choose football, which is a good thing. I'm happy. I never thought that Sundays without watching professional football would be as enjoyable as they are. I mean, today I was out at the airport for a while. I got some stuff knocked out at the house. I got some stuff knocked out at the airport. Did laundry, did shopping. Just never had an interest.
Didn't miss it.
No, didn't miss it at all. In fact, I feel more relaxed because I got more stuff done. So let's bring on board. You've been listening to Holly, and she's joining me in the studio. And by the way, I did get a comment this week to your benefit.
Aww.
That I don't let you talk enough. Of course, it was a comment from a woman. Obviously, somebody on your team. But I said, I don't regulate how much you talk, and I don't, do I?
Folks are here in the studio, one of my pet peeves with talk radio is when folks talk over each other, and I was raised better than that, and I don't believe...
I talk over people all the time.
And I don't... It's your show. You are allowed. It's your show. I don't do that. I will let the person finish saying what they want to say. And if I feel like I need to join in, I'll join in. But like Karen was here last week, and y'all had a nice, interesting discussion during the show, I'm not going to jump and walk all over people. That's just...
All right, well, to Beverly's comment, I don't regulate how much you talk.
Nope.
She's, you know, Beverly, she can jump in at any time she wants to and share an opinion. She can be completely opposite of my opinion. If she wants to portray a wrong opinion, that's her choice. And... We'll just move forward from there. And we're going to add another opinion to the mix tonight. By the way, something we've never done since you started working on the show. And I want to thank you. You stepped in when Peter left. And that's fantastic. But I've never taken an opportunity to publicly thank Eric for letting you come in to the studio on what would otherwise be a weekend night for you guys, either Saturday or Sunday, and spend time here in the studio when you could be at home spending time with him and enjoying your life out there in beautiful downtown Nassau County.
With the crickets and the mosquitoes.
So thank you, Eric, for allowing her to come in and spend some time in here. But bringing on board into the studio tonight is a longtime friend and a political go-to guy here in town. And now with a big, big announcement made only on I'm Speaking Plainly, we bring in former City Councilman Bill Bishop, former candidate for mayor, and now making this special announcement. Go ahead.
Candidate for at-large Group 2 City Council in the 2019 election.
Excellent. Thank you. And that's exclusively here on I'm Speaking Plenty, Bill Bishop announcing that I guess your paperwork's already been filed.
Paperwork's filed. We're out there campaigning, raising money, doing all the stuff you got to do when you run for office.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I look forward. You're taking and campaigning for a seat currently occupied by Councilman John Cressenbenny.
That's right.
And he's term limited out.
Yep.
And has he announced, do you know, of running for any other office, or is he going to sit on the sideline for a while?
I don't know. I haven't talked to John yet. I get asked that question often, believe it or not, from a lot of people.
Okay.
And I know the rumor mill is rampant about who's doing what on all kinds of offices out there, and I don't want to get into that because I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it.
But right.
In many ways, John has been a great councilman, and it would be a shame to see him go away.
Yeah, we differ on quite a few things, specifically the runway extension. And for some reason or another, he has dug his heels in. And I think if I could show him that it would generate $7, $8, $9, $10 million a year in revenue for the city, he would still just say no, just for the purpose of saying no. I don't get that. But he has done good for the city on other occasions. And so we'll give him those merits and overlook his shortfalls. That being said, you have another Republican who is also announced for that particular seat. How do you plan on prosecuting this campaign?
I'm going to do my campaign just the way we've always done our campaigns. We go take our message to the voters. It's describe why I'm the best candidate for the office and talk about the city and issues that we have to deal with.
I will remember that during your campaign for mayor, you stayed well above board and out of the mud. And in some cases, that may have hurt you a little bit, not getting down and fighting in the trenches. Do you plan on staying above board this time also?
I don't intend to go negative. That's not how I operate. That's not how I believe it ought to be done. And we'll just see how it goes.
Okay, good deal. Well, Bill Bishop joining us tonight for the duration here in the studio. We're going to talk about other things other than his candidacy, but that will, I'm sure, come up a few times. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jaguars. When we get back from this break, I'll be giving you a list of topics that I believe are approved by the show for us to continue going forward. But you can come up with your own ideas if you want by calling us, 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is I'm Speaking Plainly, and we'll be right back.
Hey!
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I don't want to cut this into your campaign appearance, which you can make as we get closer to the season, but I just want to tell you, got a little message here real quick. Jeff said to tell Bill hello, and happy to see that he's getting back into local politics, and look forward to voting for him.
Well, that's fantastic. So I appreciate that,
and I'll give
Jeff.
You Jeff's last name off the air so that you get a chance to talk with him. But, you know, there are some retreads, and, you know, you've pretty much stayed on city council, so it's hard to call you a retread like Tommy Azuri, who's been multiple different things. But there are some retreads that you can actually put up with in public office because they either don't do anything to hurt us or they do really good stuff for us. You know, we were talking last week. We had Matt Carlucci on the show, and I remember we were reminiscing. In fact, it went on during the week. He sent me several emails during the course of the week of things that we remembered about his father and my father and meetings that, mm-hmm. that he was in when he was working for the city and when he was a city councilman. And there are some opportunities for people to be retreads that do really good for the city. And then there are other opportunities where retreads become nothing more than placeholders.
Right. And Matt's one of the good guys.
He is. He is. He's a wealth of knowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely a wealth of knowledge. He brought up names like John Mosley and people I hadn't heard from or heard about since I was a little kid. Actually, Mr. Mosley taught me to swim. And he taught me to swim by picking me up at the Fontainebleau Hilton Hotel in Miami Beach at one of the city conventions for the credit union convention, and picking me up and in front of my mom, throwing me into the deep end of the Fontainebleau Hotel.
That really is the sink or swim method.
It is the sink or swim method, and I can tell you that my mom was about to come unglued on him, but it worked out well because I'm still here today. Going forward, we've had some things come up with respect to, do you know who I am? And in fact, I'm going to be speaking on this at the city council meeting on Tuesday night during the public comment section. But we've had some city councilmen step out of the shadows in dealing with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. I know that that during the pension issue, when you were running for mayor, there were some things that came up relative to your position on the pension and how they should move forward. And let me get your thoughts on how you feel about people addressing members of JSO or members of any organization that may have some kind of authoritative control with something like, do you know who I am? Does being elected as a city councilman give you some, do you think it should give someone some special influence more than the average everyday citizen?
Absolutely not. I mean, when you're in office, you get trained six ways from Sunday on all the various ethics laws and rules and regulations on abuse of power and that sort of thing. It's just flat out wrong, if not illegal. I mean, the line gets blurred, and I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know exactly what is or is not and where you cross that line. But you just don't do that. I mean, you lose all credibility for what you're trying to do. You undermine credibility in the whole system when you try to do that. It just feeds into people's belief that all politicians are crooked, and that's not true. But when you do something like that, what's somebody supposed to think? It's just, you just don't do that.
Well, you get that sense, you know, we talk about on this show all the time about that sense of entitlement, that there are groups within our country that believe that they are entitled to, well, they're a vast majority of people in our country that feel that they're entitled to free money, that they're entitled to free education, that they're entitled to so many things, low-cost housing. And then we get elected representatives who act in a manner that almost portrays that they deserve to be treated better than others. And I think the vast majority of people out there that are looking at the videotape, and I'm speaking specifically mm-hmm. to Reggie Gaffney and Katrina Brown. Of course, the sheriff came out recently and said that there was no law broken. And I'm Mike Williams is a friend of the show, and I like him a lot. And I'd love to ask him this question personally. And I won't second guess his judgment, other than to say, if I filed a police report that my tag had been stolen, and then a few months later, I'm caught driving a car with a tag that I reported stolen on it without having gone back, you know, to the sheriff's department and said, you know, I found my tag. Can you please remove that out of stolen status or whatever? I would expect to be charged with filing a false police report. I would have expected to at least be charged with that.
And the last time I heard, filing a false police report is a criminal offense of some sort.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not something that someone has the ability to just say, okay, you know what, we're going to let this slide.
And how do you forget that you file a police report?
How do you?
I don't understand that.
How do you find a tag, you know, even if it was up on a shelf or something in your own garage, and you find this tag? First of all, why was the tag not on your car? I mean, to wash your car, you don't remove your tag. To change your tires, you don't remove your tag. To change your oil, you don't remove your tag. To vacuum out the interior, you don't remove your tag. So why was your tag off your car to begin with? But I digress. The other thing is, when you find that tag and you say, wow, oh, well, here it is. It was here all along. It was in the washing machine. Wow, funny me for not knowing that. Oh, wait, I reported this stolen.
It's clean now.
It's clean now. Maybe I better call the sheriff's department and tell them I found it. You know, you find a puppy on the side of the road. It's got a tag on it. You look at the tag. If there's a phone number, you call the people and you say, I found your puppy. Okay, you find your tag and you've reported it stolen to the sheriff's department. You call the sheriff and you say, hey, I found your puppy. You know, so anyway, it's still under investigation. I would like to see Anna Brochet put forth some type of formal ethics investigation, if not against Reggie Gaffney, then at least against Katrina Brown for injecting herself into a situation. I mean, I have in my lifetime, in my driving career, seen people who have been stopped on the side of the road by JSO, or when I was away at college, stopped by the college police there. Mm-hmm. Never, ever in my wildest dreams would I have ever stopped and started videotaping the officer who had stopped my buddy. Because if in anything, it's going to make it worse, which it has done.
Right. There was no excuse for that.
So, and then to drop the race card, which just completely out of line. But I said this when the whole incident came up. I said it's going to get swept under the carpet. We can go back and pull the tape of whatever show that was. And I said it was going to get swept under the carpet. And it has so far. Without the efforts of the FOP chief here in town, I think it would have been buried on page 9 of the Times Union, and no one would have thought about it after it. But is it being buried because they don't want to look like it's the white entrenched people picking on the black guys? Or is it because there were four people, two of which were involved in the incidents, that were appointed to the most elite committee on the city council, which is the finance committee? I mean, is this some way of saying, hey, you know, you're allowed to mess up a few times. This just happens to be one of it. Now don't do it again. I mean, we could go 100 different directions on this.
Well, this is the kind of stuff that gives politics a bad name for everybody and leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth and undermines credibility of the whole system. And there's no good way out of this. It's easy to crash and burn when you do this, and it's really hard to build yourself back out. And that's a real problem, not just locally, but nationally and everywhere.
You know, people are critical of one of my colleagues, A.G. Gankarski. And, you know, A.G. has tarred and feathered me and stuck me on the cover of Folio magazine more than one time, or only on the cover once, but in the buried pages a lot of places. But there is one thing to be said. When people get plastered on the cover of Folio, it's by AG, it's because we give AG the cannon fodder. I mean, you just walk right up there to the pole and agree to get shot by
him. He doesn't make stuff up. No. I got to hand it to him for that.
No, and so you don't want to get picked on by AG. Don't give him the ammunition.
You actually made the cover of Folio once?
Yeah. I said something. I have a few copies of it at home. I got probably 10 or 12 copies of it that I saved. It was well deserved. There was a picture of Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa that had my face photoshopped into the Mona Lisa portrait about something I said at what was the name of that glorified art show that we used to have? One Spark.
Oh yeah, One Spark.
Yeah, which turned out You know, which turned out to be exactly what I've said on this show ever since we started doing it, and that is One Spark was nothing more than a glorified art show, and it was going to turn out to be an event that was fraught with malfeasance and misdirection and very slightly short of embezzlement for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It was a heck of a street party, though. You got to admit
that. It was a heck of a street party. I venture to say, had there not been the alcohol there, that it would have been, it wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. It's down to one day now, I think. This is the last year, and
it was one day last year, and this year that's been postponed now till sometime in the spring, and they're going to do it in Everbank Field, I think. That's the last thing I heard.
Yeah, so it was a good idea gone bad, run by a bunch of folks that were millennials that were given way too much power.
Same people running it that run the Friends of Hemming Park?
Kind of the same group. These people all kind of
I obviously am doing the wrong thing for as a line of work to earn money to bring into my house, because I could be making that kind of money and going in with a weed eater and cleaning up.
But
you know,
wouldn't be in radio,
and you wouldn't be in radio, and people wouldn't pay you probably $1 million to do that. Trust me, I made the offer. I said, look, I'll do everything these guys are doing, and I will be glad to do it for a whole lot less than $1 million. And, of course, I was turned down. But, the leader's salary was something like $225,000. And, of course, they nipped that in the bud real quick. If you're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly, phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to the phone lines as soon as we get back. Bennett Brown, you're on deck. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jackson. Well, welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Just a little technical note for you. If you're calling in and it's ringing and ringing and ringing and you're not getting through, it's because the rollover effect on our phone is not working right now. We're trying to get that fixed. So we're if we don't get through on the first call, please call back again. Right now, we're going to go to Bennett Brown, and welcome him to I'm Speaking Plainly. Good evening, Bennett. How are you doing today?
Bill, I'm doing great.
You have a question for Bill Bishop.
Congratulations on your announcement.
Thank you.
There's a little bit of a delay, Bennett. I'm sorry, buddy. You just have to fill in the blanks.
Okay. My question to Bill is, prior to the city council approving the HRO, there was a committee, and it was a bill presented in the committee to take the HRO to a referendum and allow the citizens to vote on it. And I didn't know if you were on that committee or not.
No, I was not.
Okay. What is your stance with HRO?
HRO is a very difficult subject for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of issues on both sides of that thing. Generally speaking, I don't know that it was necessary to do it. It's complicated only from the standpoint that civil rights are something that we all take for granted. People should not be discriminated against because of what they are. If there's something they can't help. The thing about this with respect to the HRO at this point is that's a debatable subject, and you're not going to get any consensus on it. It goes down a very dangerous path. I don't think people should be fired or kicked out of their house because of who or what they are. But by the same token, the agenda on that side of the political spectrum can lead this subject into an area where we don't want to go. And you're talking about potentially some very dangerous societal changes that can come out of it.
Right.
Well, at least it sounded like you gave a full answer to that. Thank you, Bennett, for your call tonight. I appreciate it. I'm playing back in my mind the way you answered that question, and it sounded complete to me, as opposed to the general, you know, hand washing that you get from most political candidates. I would have expected by now that some member of the LGBT community, LGBT/Q, however many letters they're added to the list now, would have come forward and claimed some form of discrimination or been before the Human Rights Commission.
That's not happened.
It's not happened, right? Mm. And so therefore, it falls in line with what I said initially when I opposed the whole idea of the HRO, and that was, where's the demonstrated need? I mean, even, you know, you want a stoplight in your neighborhood, you have to demonstrate to streets and highways that there's a need for that stoplight in your neighborhood. This was something that just came out of the blue, much of which from by imports from South Florida, who came forward and said, we need to do this as a test case in Jacksonville because we're trying to develop a new area that's going to be the bastion of the LGBT community on the East Coast of the United States, just like San Francisco is on the West Coast.
And it's not just South Florida. It's all over the country. It's a concerted push to local governments to do this because that's the easy way to get things done. That sort of legislation is something that ought to be done at the state level, but our legislature isn't touching it. And they're not touching it for obvious reasons. And so the next level down is to hit local governments to do it because the resistance is easier.
Well, isn't there already built-in protections for the LGBT community at the state level anyway?
No.
There is nothing? Okay.
All the civil rights legislation flows down from Washington.
Okay.
And the federal civil rights legislation has every category covered except for sexual orientation. You won't find that anywhere in the law except, well, now it's been instituted at the federal level by executive order and various different government entities have done the same sort of thing, but you won't find it in the law at the federal level anywhere. And so that's why the people that are advocating for it are pushing down lower and lower down into the governmental food chain because it's easier to get things done the farther down you go.
All right. Well, it falls in with my idea that people are now looking for ways to be offended. People are looking for ways for which they can generate a discrimination. That's going to go forward into all of future political campaigns. I assume that at some point in time, the local LGBT groups like Jimmy Mignette and some of the others are going to come forward and even have a position on something like a city council race. And I know that when you were running for mayor, those folks seem to have felt that you were on board. And I think to the most part, you gave them the kind of support that they needed at the time. Do you think that they'll be in your campaign again?
I don't know. We'll just have to see. I mean, I did not. I mean, at that time, I supported the idea of providing housing and employment protections for gay and lesbian people.
Right. Well, that goes without saying for anybody. That's common sense.
That's absolutely common sense. But the law did not provide for that.
Right.
It ought to. Now, you get past that, and you're getting into some really dangerous ground. And I never did support things like gay marriage is flat out wrong. I don't care what the Supreme Court said. It's just morally incorrect. It's not right. And you go down that kind of road, and those are the kind of societal changes that we see being pushed mm-hmm. that are going to ultimately be our undoing in many ways. And it's a very dangerous path.
How do you feel? We're turning this into a kind of a question and answer session that I'm sure you weren't prepared for tonight, and I'm sorry, but how do you feel about the protests that are going forth? We've talked about the Jaguars. We've talked about the boycott the NFL. I know that you've been to a few games. I used to be a season ticket holder. Their performance fell off is why I gave up being a ticket holder. And now with the whole embarrassment in England going on, how do you feel about the public political statements being made by multi-millionaire players that are supposedly conducting these protests for inequality and oppression? How do you feel about someone who's getting paid tens of million dollars a year to play a game saying that there's income inequality going on in the United States?
Well, I think that's kind of disingenuous as far as I'm concerned. But as far as the protests go, this is a game. This is a sports activity. You have every First Amendment right in the world to protest anything you want, but that doesn't instill an obligation on my part to pay attention to it or pay for it. When I go to a sports game, I don't go to a political event. I don't want somebody else's political exercise to interfere with my enjoyment. And when you start turning a football game into a political statement, it's violating the cardinal rule of business, don't hack off your customers.
Right.
And I'm a customer.
Right.
I don't I don't have to pay for that. This is discretionary spending on my part. And if you're going to keep doing this kind of stuff, why would I go back?
So if you go forward, and we know you are, and going to get into a full-fledged campaign, do you see the funding that's generated by the bed tax that's being spent really one-sided towards the Jacksonville Jaguars? Do you see that changing over the next year, or at least maybe in the next budget cycle?
In the near term, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of conversation about that. Tax dollars are going to support activities that are just counter to what this city feels is right and proper. In the long term, it'll be a question of whether the Jaguars and NFL football itself can kind of get its act together and get back to what it is. It's the entertainment business.
You know, and I hate to mention this name on my show, although he's an all right guy, but he and I were diametrically opposed on 99.995% of all the topics we ever discussed, and that's Andy Johnson. And Andy was a big Jaguars hater long before I ever was. And if I got anything good out of Andy Johnson, it was from the fact that we spend a great deal of money on these guys for very little return. And he was always a big proponent that the bed tax didn't have to be spent on the Gator Bowl. It could have been spent on sidewalks and lighting and the landing and the Times Union and all of the other venues. Even the Jacksonville Zoo could get a lion's share, no pun intended, of that bed tax money over the Jaguars. That's a true statement, isn't it? It doesn't have to go into supporting the teams. It can go into supporting sidewalks and lighting and the all-over experience.
It can go into whatever the city council deems something to do with recreation and tourism. And that's a subjective statement. What we've done so far is we've decided the Jaguars are worth spending money on, and so all the various lease agreements that have been done and all the different bond issues that have been done have gone to support that activity. It doesn't have to.
So going forward, if they continue to behave in the manner they behaved and make an embarrassment of themselves as they have done in England back on our Navy town, then that funding could be in jeopardy and funneled to other locations.
It's entirely possible.
Excellent. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio is former councilman, now newly announced candidate for city council, and Holly Lowe. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. And joining me in the studio tonight is City Council candidate. Boy, that's going to be a new one to have to get used to. City Council candidate Bill Bishop. And also, Holly's in with us now. Don't forget that tonight we have to do the trivia question in the last segment of the hour, because people have already asked about whether we're going to do that. Also, what we're having for dinner. We didn't have dinner tonight. I will tell you guys, those of you that have asked, two people have asked, that whole dinner in the studio thing is starting to become something that everyone's looking forward to. Tonight we are having absolutely fantastic slices of, what was it?
Sour cream pound cake with a lemon glaze.
Which she constructed with her own two hands, and it is phenomenal. So I will say, and there are only two pieces left. Oh, you gave Bishop one. All right.
Really good, too.
Trying to perfect the recipe that was my mother-in-law's and get it right for the fair in Callahan, Northeast Florida fair.
So, Aunt B, you're going to actually go take a pie or a cake down there?
Oh, yeah.
Really? So is that fair?
I won a few blue ribbons with my cooking endeavors, and it's been a while since I entered anything, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
I'm going to paraphrase an email that I got back on Monday or Tuesday of this last week. And I'm just paraphrasing it now. It came from a listener, and they said, I never had any interest in politics until one night about 4 years ago I came upon your show. And it's entertaining and informative without making me think like I'm tuning into some show to learn from. That's kind of paraphrasing what she said. And so the fact that we kind of get off subject every once in a while seems to be something that people enjoy. And we get off subject a lot. You know that. Bill Bishop's been on. He was coming on the show long before you even got here. Sometimes we'd start talking about something, and I'd get something in my head, and then we go in a totally different direction. So now,
degenerate is a good word to describe how it goes sometimes.
So now I'm going to get onto one of those side train tracks and take off for the woods. And that is, so this fair up in Nassau County that you're going to compete in, this cook-off for cakes and pies and cookies and whatever. Is it like a real old school fair where people brought their cows and
yes,
their chickens
and their
pigs
to be judged?
Yes,
they still do the 4-H thing and with the livestock, and you can see chickens and rabbits and pigs and cows.
My sister used to do that stuff with the 4-H, but she quit. People kept trying to put her in a pen, you know, and hold her for judging, but she stopped doing that. She was part of, what was it, FFA, Future Farmers of America?
Future Farmers, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so
they still have an old McDonald's farm that a little petting zoo you can go into, and the prices are still reasonable.
Have goats? What is it about? All petting zoos have goats for some reason.
They're still
they're
old school that up until like a year or two ago, they didn't take debit cards. If you got there and you walked in the gate, you had to have good old American cash.
Well, I have a feeling that our dependence on plastic is going to someday be a big downfall for us. As you've noticed that many times coming into the studio where I have to bum money from you, it's because I don't even have money for the Coke machine, because all we do is carry plastic nowadays. Everything we do is based on a card, swiping a card. And, you know, you get somewhere and you don't have cash money, then you're going home. Or if you get somewhere and you have a card, but there's a computer glitch between your bank and whatever terminal you're trying to check out through, you know, your date's paying for dinner or you're going home. And it's terrible how much we've turned into a cashless society. And I think in many ways it's kind of a way to track people.
There's a lot of ways we could go about that.
It's all about control. It's all about big data. There's countries in Europe now, I think Sweden is one of them, that are actually going to outlaw cash. And they're going to go to a complete cashless society. I don't think that's a healthy thing.
Well, in Bill's case, it's usually because he didn't have a good time on the date, and he's just trying to think of a quick way to get rid
now
of the check.
That's a whole other subject.
Let me just see if I can ditch this girl by saying, you know, I don't have my wallet with me, or, oh, my card is declined. Can you pay for dinner? I'll go pull the car around.
I will tell you that I have never, ever, in my entire life, ever done that at all. I will tell you that I can't even remember how far back it was, probably 25 or 30 years ago. I was away at college, and I do actually remember a time where, and one of my really good friends, Dale now is living in Lexington, Kentucky, but I remember leaving my wallet at home when I was on a date, and I went to, back then, a payphone, put in a quarter, and called Dale and asked him to go by my apartment, because he had a key, and get my wallet and bring it to. I was at Poor Richard's Inn in Indy Atlantic Beach, Florida, I can tell you. And he brought it to Poor Richard's Inn so that I could pay for my meal. But that's the only time. And I don't believe in Dutch treat. Even if the girl is coyote ugly, I still don't believe in Dutch treat. It's just not the way my mother raised me.
Whoever invites should pay for it.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, you had invited me over to your house for dinner or barbecue about 2 years ago, and that still hadn't happened. But anyway, I understand that you're a Lake Ray associate. I do understand that you're a Lake Ray associate. Lake is still, you know, out there owing me a lunch, but that
happened. Oh, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. All right, so while we've been sitting here chatting, Lori came up and said, Bill, why did you decide to step away from the mayor's race and go back for city council? And I think I can answer this question. It's Curry really hadn't done anything bad for us yet.
That's right. I mean, he's doing a decent job, and in the nature of politics being what it is, people don't like to hear this, but it costs money to run for office. And when you have an incumbent that has been doing the job that's been happening, there will be no money to run against him. It's just a simple fact of life. And so there's no sense in trying, because you will go nowhere. It's just, that's one of the ugly, unseemly side of politics, that it costs money to run these races.
If you had to guess, how many big money contributors are there in Jacksonville? A dozen? Two dozen? No more than
probably
two dozen.
Probably no more than that.
Yeah.
No. If you count them on both sides of the aisle, probably no more than that.
Let's go immediately to the phones and talk to Marty before we have to get up for our next break. Marty, good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Hey, and I'm sorry I missed last week, but I didn't realize that you were going to be on Sunday Live.
We're jumping back and forth, and I'm sorry, buddy, but right after FSU football season is over, we'll be right back to Saturday nights again.
One of my comments, it might be like redundant, but I was talking to a neighbor today who said that her husband was watching football, and I want to say this, but we have no discipline. I never liked football, and I made the expression about 40 years ago that I plagiarized Karl Marx and said, football is the opiate of the masses. And I want to tell you something that I'm saying in general, no matter what these felons, these players who, for example, the Jacksonville Jaguars, how many of these guys have been arrested? One guy was shot at a club. I feel sorry for him. I think he lost a leg and then he died of a stroke later on. And I really feel for these people. But a lot of these guys are like gangsters with uniforms on. And we like to, not me, but people like to go watch these perpetrators in uniform or whatever. They have no discipline. It's like they have to watch their football. And I know a friend in New York who's the definition of a couch potato. And when he's watching, he's shorter than me. You know how tall I am. He weighs about 300 pounds. And when he watches the football, he gets violent. He's like, he's acting like vicariously, like he's making some of the millions that these clowns make. And all he is watching a bunch of people, spoiled brats, who hate this country. I want to tell you something briefly before I get cut off. Michael Jordan, a while ago, he's not football, he's basketball. Michael Jordan, at a certain point, said, I have to weigh in on, he's a supporter also of Black Lives Matter. The problem is, I think it was 1993, I looked it up, his father was killed in a stick-up by what they call in the police world a salt and pepper team. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
One perp is black and one perp is white. His father was shot to death during a stick-up. So this guy probably he hits his head against the hoops too many times. Now, of course, he just does endorsements. But this, I used to like him, but this jerk who's the first billionaire, basketball player, has to weigh in on, Black Lives Matter. He should weigh in on decency or common sense.
Well, for some reason or another, Marty, we've placed a great deal of influence by Hollywood and our sports celebrities to the outcomes of our political and moral...
Hi, Holly.
Hey, Marty.
Political and moral endeavors. The music's playing, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for your call tonight. Thanks for being a longtime listener to the show, Marty from St. Augustine. I hope he's going to be coming up for our Veterans Day event. We'll tell you a little bit more about that when we get back. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Bill Bishop joining me in the studio along with Holly. Coming up, Bill's mailbag, and then later on in the evening, we'll be doing that trivia question. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.